Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerene Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM's Focus Fridays, and my guest today is NAMI Executive Director Jen Grimm. Good morning, Jen. Thanks for stopping in and chatting with us today.
Good morning, Melissa. We've had fun already, and I'm looking forward to having a good conversation with you.
Yes, because you have a very interesting job. And so like we had in the introduction, you are the executive director at NAMI. And so I guess let's first start out, what is NAMI?
NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's a nice acronym. We are nationally organized, but each community has the ability to manage their own mental health services.
And then you guys are for Wayne and Holmes County.
We cover both counties, yes.
And so how long have you been with NAMI?
I've been at NAMI for 7 years. Initially, I did the community outreach, our fundraising events and grants. And as the original executive director retired, I took that position about 3 years ago.
And so how did you get it? Is that a position you applied for? Or did somebody reach out and say, hey, we'd like you to step into this position? How did you get there?
Sure. Well, initially coming to NAMI, I was interested in part-time work. I have a young child at home, and it was helpful for the family at the time. We could do that. And I knew that would be a time-limited kind of scenario for us. So as the director retired, I engaged with our board of directors with interest in the executive director position.
And so were you appointed then, or were there other people they were looking at and you had to like compete? Like how did that?
Yeah. So I actually was not too privy to that process. I knew I was interested. I interviewed, I applied, we did some formalities, and I was appointed.
And how long have you been the director now?
3 years.
And so just kind of a basic summary, what does the director at NAMI do?
Everything.
Right? I know I say basic summary.
That's why I laughed when we talked about this earlier, because it's a small organization. We have 9 part-time staff, and we do a whole lot of programming for the community, and we have programs running every day. And when the bathroom needs attention, I am helping with that. When there's an employee that can't come in for the day, I'm filling in that gap, plugging in to all the different scenarios and challenges for the day as needed. But ideally, the executive director is really working with all of the people that are interested in NAMI and growing the mission and sustaining our programs and services with high quality to make sure we're actually meeting the mission of our organization.
You guys only have 9 part-time? I thought you would have more than that. And you guys put on a lot of programs.
We do. So we rely very heavily on volunteers and community support. And when you're in the NAMI building, often like on a Friday when we're having our lunch that we do every week, it's hard to know the difference between in the room who is staff, who is there to receive service, and who's volunteering or who's a guest. It's like a big family. And it works well for us. We are known as a grassroots organization. So we are actually, you know, hands in the mud, cultivating soil to make sure that people can grow and thrive in spite of their mental health conditions.
And you kind of mentioned the mission. What is the mission? Do you have like an official mission statement or what are you aiming out to do with NAMI?
Well, I'll go with our vision statement because it's a little bit shorter. Our vision is to improve the lives of persons affected by mental illness. And the mission statement actually includes the ways we do that. So it's our programs for peers who are people with a mental health condition, their families, the community. We also do work with people who've lost someone to suicide, and we do training for first responders. So in a nutshell, that's that's our services.
And you're hitting a huge, I mean, there really isn't anybody in the community that those services may not include at some point in their life.
Yes. Thank you for identifying that. I'd like to think that anyone in our community would find a service they could use at NAMI. Whether you're just having a down day or life has been hard on you for the past month, we are there for you. We have a program just for you. Or if you have a long-term life-limiting mental health condition or a family member does, we're here for you and we have a program for you for that scenario as well.
And in the 7 years that you've been there, have you noticed a change in the way people view mental health?
I would say, because I've lived through this organization in the pandemic, and I think people were really worried about us in that time that our services would increase, that there would be more suffering for mental health. And I would say that we were surprised that our folks that we had been caring for many years were quite resilient, and they were basically like, welcome to the club. We've been dealing with anxiety, depression, you know, these major symptoms, and it's been interrupting our sleep and our nutrition and our life activities for all of our lives. So everyone who was affected by the pandemic, you know, welcome to the club. This is what we have lived with for a lifetime.
So do you think that was almost a little cathartic for those folks to be like, oh, now everybody understands. It's not just me. It's all of us now.
Yeah, I would say it was cathartic. And I would say that it really normalized mental health for the general population, reduced stigma, built awareness. And I would say we've been busier ever since.
I understand 150%. I think that we are our level of news. Everybody else was always like, oh, well, we're slowed down because of the pandemic. I'm like, I just keep getting faster because there's news doesn't stop because of what's going on. So I understand 150%. Well, we are going to learn more about what you and NAMI does for Wayne and Holmes counties here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM with Jen Grimm, who is the executive director at NAMI. And it's all here on your hometown radio. We are back here on WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and I am here with the executive director of NAMI, Jen Grimm. And we kind of started to learn about NAMI and yourself here in the last segment. And so at NAMI, I'm sure you have some day-to-day activities that you go through consistently.
Yeah. We are open Monday through Friday from 10 to 4, and that's a very general statement because we are here for the community based on their needs. So the very first thing that happens is, as we are opening our drop-in recovery center called Mocha House, is that opens at 11. But because we cover both counties, we provide transportation door to door. So we arrive at a person's house, pick them up, and bring them to the program. So all of that process starts happening around 8 a.m. in the morning with our van driver.
I was going to say, do you have a van or like one of the little buses? Or
yeah, we have a 15-passenger van and a very faithful driver who answers the phone starting at 8, finds out who wants to come for the day. People, when they come to our program, no one is making them do that. It's not mandated. They're not required to do that by their doctor or caseworker. It's just because they feel like they need that extra bump in their mood and activity. So they voluntarily call the van driver and say, come pick me up. I'd like to come to Mocha House. So again, that starts early in the day. I often have meetings. When I have a lot of meetings or committee work to do, I try to work that in outside of the operation hours because the programs definitely need some supervision and support from me. Mm-hmm. In the evenings, we often have family programs. So as Mocha House is shutting down for the day, we might be opening back up around 5 or 6 in the evening to host something like Family to Family. And that's taught by people who have a family member with a mental health condition. But they often need organization, supplies, resources set aside for them to do that class. And from time to time, families just reach out to us in crisis, and we are not crisis services by any means. We're not clinical staff, but we are a good, safe space for people to start to figure out how to manage a mental health condition for themselves or a family member.
And if you don't have the services they need, you know where they can go to get those services.
Right. So we often are a good spot because we'll listen well and then share with people, here's what NAMI can do. But you have a lot of needs outside of NAMI, and I would encourage you to call 211, get resources through them, make sure people know they can call 988 for 24/7 mental health crisis needs, and just referring people directly to agencies that can support them, counseling, case management, utility assistance, all of the above.
Now, one of the things we didn't touch in the first segment, but as you start talking about some of the things you have your hands in, as the director, are you required to have any certifications or degrees or anything like that?
For a NAMI executive director, what they're looking for is more of a lived experience. So as an agency, we're not required to be clinical by any mm-hmm. stretch of the imagination. We are expected to be advocates and educate and support people around mental health conditions. So my background, I have a bachelor's in psychology, and I came to the organization with 15 years or more of nonprofit experience, and that was an asset in what the organization needed.
They were like, ooh, yay.
Yes, that is what they needed at the time. And again, we're not in a position to do clinical work, so it's just knowing the resources and getting people the help they need.
And that's part of that grassroots you talked about in that first segment. You're just working together right. to help tackle what's going on in some people's brains.
Right. Yeah. So we are, I would say we have a lot of leniency and flexibility in the services that we offer, but we need to be, I'm kind of the guardrails of saying to the staff and volunteers, that's a great idea, but this agency already provides that, or how can we get to it in a different way that we're not overstepping our capacity?
Right, because you don't want to get into something that could be dangerous for not just you guys, but for the folks being involved as well.
Right.
And so are there any other kind of day-to-day things that you do? You guys, are you guys a state reporting agency, or are you just, you said you're part of a national organization. Do you have things you have to do as part of that national organization, or do they kind of let you operate as you need just under that NAMI umbrella?
Well, yeah, there are things we have to do. I would say that our NAMI National is a light touch. They want us to provide statistics on NAMI programs that we're providing. But our other stakeholders include the Wayne Holmes Mental Health and Recovery Board. Both Area United Ways are support our programs, and several of the local community foundations as well. And we're accountable to businesses who provide sponsorship dollars. We're accountable to the people we serve. We evaluate our services and make sure they're hitting the needs of the people that we serve and to just the community in general.
Now, are your programs, are they part of the organization based, or are they some that you guys come up with as well as you see the need in the community?
We try hard to make sure that we're providing programs that are evidence-based, that are, you know, that work out in other communities, but we do not have a lot of requirements that say that we have to do A, B, and C to be a NAMI. In fact, the Drop-In Recovery Center is unique for a NAMI to provide that. We're not the only ones, but we're one of the very few that provide that service to people. What is wrapped inside of that is a required or a expected program, NAMI peer-to-peer. But we just kind of structure that within the activities of the day in Mocha House. And so we have both. We have flexibility and a few things that are pretty core to our mission.
And it all comes down to you on that decision on what you're going to provide, and maybe, oh, this isn't getting the involvement that we thought it would. We're going to stop doing this.
Right. That's maybe the essence of my work is getting to decide, like, okay, this is what we've always done. Should we continue on this path, or is there a better way to do it, or a different group of people who need to have more of a voice and help with this particular project or program?
Is that a hard decision to make? Like, if you see the attendance going down on something, you're like, but these people are using it, but we could use these resources elsewhere. It's got to be difficult sometimes.
Yeah, it's difficult because we're always limited as a nonprofit and our staff is small. And I do have to take into account all of those different factors. But I think part of what puts a executive director in that position is that they're willing to have that exploration and consider, weigh the different impacts of the decisions that they make.
These are big decisions to make when you're dealing with people's mental health.
Exactly. Yeah. And people need what they need, and we want to make sure we're mostly listening to that voice. But if it can be provided by a different group of people in a different way, then that's a win for the person who needs the service.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we are going to learn more about what you guys do at NAMI and what you do as the director as part of that here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM with the executive director of NAMI, Jen Grimm, here on your hometown radio. We are back with Jen Grimm, the executive director of NAMI. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And we've kind of flitted around it. You've mentioned a few of them. But NAMI has quite a few programs that you said, you're helping out with each and every one of these. So what are some of the programs that folks can utilize from your organization?
Well, I think most people have some interaction with mental health, whether it's themselves and whether it's a hard time of their lives or a family member, a loved one that they care for and continue to prop up over a lifetime. And so NAMI programs are meant to be a safe space for people to come and start to explore the mental health education world and find different tools and resources that they haven't tapped into yet. And for the people who have a mental health condition, that is the MOCA House program. MOCA stands for Motivating, Optimistic, Caring, and Accepting. And these are the things that people will feel as soon as they enter our building and our services. So it's a welcoming space for people. Again, they come of their own free will. There's no cost to attend. And when they arrive, they're greeted with people who care about them, who know their stories and the dark places that they have been in, and they still affirm them and let them know that they're not alone. And that's available Monday through Friday. No cost to participate, and the van will actually pick you up at your house, bring you to the program, and take you home at the end of the day. It's a safe space for people, and mental health conversations happen usually in the afternoon. In the morning, we are usually warming people up with an activity. We talk about the news. We talk about different topics of interest for people. We learn about resources in our community, but we also really have fun with each other. We explore art, painting, and all kinds of different creative expressions for people. We do journaling and writing for wellness, nutrition. Nutrition's pretty fun because they'll bring in healthy snacks for us to try. And also fitness and exercise is part of that as well. Games and activities, crafts, you name it. So all centered around mental health, but also teaching people social skills so that they can connect with each other.
Because a lot of those things you mentioned, all are wrapped up into the mental illness. People don't eat right because they're not in the right headspace, or they don't feel like they deserve it, or whatever, or they're not exercising because they don't have the motivation. And so giving them that encouragement and that playbook to utilize is helpful.
Yes. And so we have a activity calendar that we publish every 2 months, and that's specific to the Mocha House program. We have, in the time when we were not able to meet in person, we moved to a support group that is Zoom-based. So we do have an option for people who cannot come in person, or maybe their symptoms are such that they really only have the energy to click the on button on their computer to sign into our group. And that happens every week as well. So we are learning about flexibility of our programs to meet people exactly where they need us to be.
Because, you know, with the world changing, those needs are changing. And so even in the mental health world, you got to keep up with that.
Yes, for sure.
And what are some of the other programs? That's a biggie there that you guys offer. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned you have some in the evenings and other times too.
Yeah. Not every NAMI has a Mocha House, but most NAMIs have our family education programs. And those are, again, people who have been there before, who are teaching the classes and leading the groups. We are offering a family-to-family education program. That is 8 weeks of pretty intense information that people who go through that experience come out feeling so much more supported. They've built a connection of people that they keep in touch with throughout the mental health experience they're going through, and really are encouraging and supporting to each other along the way. But you gain a lot of information that actually changes the look and trajectory for your family. So maybe your loved one with depression is actually not getting the best caregiving from you. And through family to family, you can learn new tools and skills to where you're not blaming them or accusing them of being lazy. You're understanding that it's their depression and those chemical symptoms that they're experiencing that create a behavior. And so we learn a lot about mental health in that family-to-family class. There's also two monthly meetings, one in Wayne County, one in Holmes County, and that is where people can get support, and it's a little less structured than the family-to-family class. Those are our family support groups.
And you also mentioned that you have one for people who have lost people to suicide, which seems to be a little more common these days. And a lot of times you don't realize, you assume the person who committed suicide obviously had a lot going on, but you don't realize necessarily how that affects the people they left behind.
Right. So our suicide services are an extension of what we do, with an understanding that a lot of people who die by suicide have some underlying struggles. Mental health often is part of that picture. And there's a loss team that goes out when there is a suicide. Our goal in serving on the loss team is really to create a barrier around the family and survivors so that they don't experience any more trauma related to the suicide loss. So we're there providing tissues and water and shooing the neighbors away. And
a shoulder.
Yeah, shoulder to cry on, a listening ear. So people who've gone through that experience then also get invited to our PALS support group. And that's a monthly meeting where people come and talk about losing their loved one to suicide and what that loss has meant to them. It seems like a group no one wants to be a part of, and you don't want to go through that suicide loss experience, but the people have been really beautiful and loving to each other, connecting to each other, and they talk about, you know, they've become more sensitive to others who've gone through a similar trauma.
And so it's good to have just other people who understand, because sometimes you feel like people just don't understand what you're going through, no matter what kind of mental health issue. And that's pretty much what NAMI provides.
Yeah, that's the essence of it. We do not want people to be alone. And that is why we are a peer-run organization. It's part of that Me Too kind of mentality that we understand because we've been there before too.
We are going to learn more about what goes on at NAMI here in our next segment. That's Executive Director Jen Grimm for NAMI. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are back here with Executive Director for NAMI, Jen Grimm. I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays, and we started talking about the programming that NAMI offers in our last segment, and we hit a lot about families and what you can offer for either the singular person or the family unit. But you guys also have opportunities for community and different types of programming that can help those in the community. And one of the big ones is our first responders.
Yes. So NAMI provides crisis intervention team training. That is a 40-hour curriculum that we offer once or twice a year for first responders. So that is not just your police officers and your sheriff's office, but that is fire and EMS, court personnel, dispatch 911. So anyone who's going to be involved when there is a call to 911 and we learn that part of that situation is wrapped around a mental health diagnosis, condition, symptoms.
Because that can change the whole dynamic of how you respond to a call by being able to identify what's going on right away.
Exactly. So we encourage people that if they call 911, to let them know right away that mental health is part of this situation. And if that happens cleanly, and the way you do that is just to say, please send a CIT officer. And the whole goal is that the person on the scene who has the mental health crisis or symptoms should get treatment offered to them despite whatever is happening on the end of law and that response. So we encourage people to have the option to get treatment, go to the hospital, and avoid incarceration if they can, if it's related to the mental health is kind of the primary cause there. So first responders through our training are taught how to de-escalate the situation, how to help people to calm down, and to really just have some good understanding of this is a mental health situation more so than it's a law enforcement situation.
Because you can't just approach some mental health situations just like any other crime situation. Sometimes the yelling and everything just makes it worse, and you've just got to speak softly and know how to approach, or you know, don't touch if maybe it's that kind of situation, and that could set off a whole nother thing. So it's just being able to identify those.
Exactly. And so the 40-hour training really walks people through this. Sometimes we get the opportunity to train cadets who are just entering law enforcement, and that's a really great time
to get them early.
Get them early, get them trained right. And so that's ideal, but oftentimes we have advanced classes just for people who've been through the training but need a refresher on a specific topic. So there's a group of people who organize this. It's not just NAMI. I'm just one voice, but we actually have representation from several departments that attend an advisory council. Mm-hmm. And that group really plans the 40-hour content, speakers. It really puts a lot of great thought into what the community needs are.
Well, and it's important to know that and be able to identify that. What you might think is somebody who's intoxicated could just be a mental health episode, and you have to take those things so different.
Yes, yes.
And then you've got some other community programs as well, including for business and youth.
Yes. So if you are in a position in a business where you can have some influence over your employees and their mental health, we have a new program called NAMI Stigma Free, and that is a way to really help business owners and human resource departments to empower their employees to take care of themselves. Things we should be doing anyway. I know. But if NAMI doesn't take the lead in promoting something like this, then it's so easy to let work and the bottom line be the priority always. We know that happy employees, well-adjusted employees who take care of themselves outside of work will actually perform better at work. And so Stigma Free is based on that idea that let's take care of the humans that we employ.
Because they are human.
Exactly. They're not machines. And we do need to make sure that those people feel healthy and supported by their employers. So we can do presentations for your leadership or for the employees on these different topics. And we would love that opportunity.
And that's a relatively newer program too.
Yes. We, NAMI National, provides a lot of content, printed materials, things for HR portals for people to put on there to really help their employees. So we have some of those resources, but really we just want to provide the employers to provide time and space for us to have those good conversations.
And then you also have something for the youth as well.
Yeah, NAMI Next Gen is a group of individuals who are aged 14 to 29 that we are looking to gather those people together to, again, we don't want to wait until symptoms are bad and a person's been living with their mental health condition for 20 years with a lot of ramifications, you know, untreated. We want to reach people younger and earlier. So NAMI Next Gen is a movement to really engage that younger population in developing programs, really reducing stigma, making a mental health a more normalized conversation, because really that next generation can do it better than anyone. Everyone pays attention to what the youth are talking about. And if we realize that they're comfortable talking about mental health, it helps the whole community as well.
And that's where you really got to start. That way the bad habits don't get developed and things like that. If you get started from the beginning, it can actually help keep problems later on from happening.
Yeah. So prevention is a type of move that you're going to see in all mental health avenues of our services in the community. We want to reach people before there's a crisis rather than focusing so much on just repairing something that went wrong. If we have the opportunity to prevent some of these things, we want to be in that space.
Is there a place where people can go to find more information about these programs if they're interested in it?
Our website, which is namiwayneholmes.org, is a great spot to go to get more information on any of these programs and services.
And I'm sure they can call to and talk to somebody if they don't have access to the internet. You know, there are still places that struggle with getting internet or if they just want to talk to a human being.
Absolutely. So you can call, and again, you've got 9 part-time staff, so chances are pretty good you'll reach someone you know, and that's 330-264-1590.
And we'll be back with more on NAMI here on Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM with the Executive Director of NAMI, Jen Grimm, and we'll be back with more. Stepping back here with Executive Director Jen Grimm from NAMI, I'm Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM, and we talked about the programming in the last couple segments here, but the programming couldn't happen without funding. You got to be funded, and you guys are a nonprofit, so it's not like you're just being handed money from a state agency or a federal agency. You got to get the money.
Absolutely. And we try really hard to be diverse in where we go to for not only money, but resources as well. So I'd like to talk some about our volunteers. But our primary funding is from a few different sources. It would be from grants. So we get consistent funding from the Wayne Holmes Mental Health and Recovery Board, the United Ways, PEGS Foundation. A few other community foundations support us on projects as well. And then we also do community fundraising events. We ask donors to support us once a year through a donation. And that's really how we're able to get things done that we do. It's how we're able to meet our mission. We do not charge for any of our services.
And so that's where you as the director kind of comes in and you're like, okay, where are some grant funds that maybe some new money I can look for, or what is this option, and or here's a new fundraising idea and put it out there, because as the director, you need to make sure you're funded.
Absolutely. I definitely on payday want to make sure we've got All of, you know.
Everybody likes to get that paycheck.
Everyone does. And we can't do our work without our wonderful staff and employees. So, yeah, stability and making sure that we meet the bottom line is very much on my shoulders. And I know the formula for that that has worked in the past, but our world is always changing. And we try to make sure we're diversified and keeping our eyes open to different opportunities.
And do you think as the stigma is kind of changing on mental health, there is more opportunities for funding and fundraising for organizations like yourself?
Well, we see that it working in two different ways. We see that, yes, there are more entities that are interested in funding mental health, but also see that a lot of organizations are saying, well, we do mental health because mental health is everything. So there's additional funding, but I would also say there's additional competing agencies, especially as we've watched, you know, some federal and state funding get, you know, pulled. That's been a concern for us. And there's more people going for smaller pots of money. Everyone's doing wonderful mission work, but it's definitely become more competitive in the nonprofit funding space.
Getting a little more battle zone in the funding.
Absolutely. See, it just behooves us to make sure that we have quality programs that we can tell our story and show that we are able to change lives through the work we do.
And part of the funding factor is volunteers, because no matter what organization, what nonprofit, when you have volunteers, the hours that they provide are essentially a form of funding without any monetary transfer, because they're giving you their time, which has value.
Oh, absolutely. So we have, I know in our last fiscal year report, we had 153 volunteers donating 2,422 hours.
That's amazing.
Amazing. And when I look at that number, I think, well, who are all these people? And when you actually look at the list, it's like, well, yeah, we could not get this project done without calling our volunteer Gary to come change the light bulb out front. Mm-hmm. We would not be able to get this meal delivered to a client without Carolyn putting it in a box and getting it out the door to our person who's stuck at home. And when I think about all the faces of people who support our organization and do that without expecting anything in return, it's just a really beautiful thing. And it reminds me as the director that our work is important to the people we serve, but also to all the hands that are part of that. And our volunteers deserve all of the credit and thanks from our organization that we cannot do what we do without them.
And in a different way to look at it, a lot of times volunteer work is healing all in itself.
It's true. People do that. People volunteer because it feels good and that can improve their mental health.
And with the way a lot of your volunteers work, they've been in that situation. They know. And so if they can, a lot of times when you've been through something so horrible, you don't want anybody else to feel that way either. So you want to do what you can to help somebody not feel what you felt.
Absolutely. And so that ties back into that whole peer element of our organization, the Me Too, the grassroots. We are all invested in this idea that we want to help other people so that their outcomes are a little bit better than ours were.
I say a lot of times in the mornings that being nice to people and helping doesn't cost anything, mm-hmm. but it gives a lot.
Absolutely. So we're in the space where we can encourage people and help them find the positive parts of an experience that they're going through. And that's where we go back to our values of the organization being motivating, optimistic, caring, and accepting. That's the MOCA values. And if we can do those things, then we can feel better about our day and we can help other people have a better day.
Because even if it's just a little few minutes more than normal of feeling happy, that's a win in Absolutely. Mental health.
Absolutely. It's another piece of prevention. Maybe it'll change the trajectory of someone's day.
And is there anything else on the funding aspect that you guys do? You do fundraisers.
Yeah. So we have an event in May called the Walk in 5K for Wellness. May is Mental Health Month, so we want to make sure we get a boost in awareness during that time. But if you are interested in being part of a movement of 400 to 500 people, that is the Walk in 5K for Wellness. So that's May 2nd at the OARDC in Worcester. We'll be having teams and door prizes, and we'll be doing some walking and or running as well.
And you guys have it to where folks can participate without being at the ORDC as well, too. If maybe you live far away or you don't get out as much, but you still want to walk at home on your treadmill, you can participate still.
Absolutely. So we kept that virtual option alive for people. A lot of people are out of town or they're busy that day.
May's a busy month.
It is. And so, yes, you can do it your way. And that's been a really nice thing for people.
And I'm sure really increased the participation.
Yeah. And there's actually a business that does a walk at their campus. They're a big enough business that they're able to do their own event and just kind of check in with us. But yeah, all the money raised from the walk stays local, and it actually is close to a third of our funding.
Oh, wow. That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So if anyone's interested, they can find more on our website.
Great. Well, we've got just one more segment here with Jen. This is Jen Grimm, the Executive Director of NAMI. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. One last time here on Focus Fridays on WKLM with Executive Director of NAMI, Jen Grimm. I am Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and after chatting with you here through the rest of our segments, a lot of how you guys operate at NAMI seems to focus on personal experience and the stories that people can share and tell to try and help heal other people.
Yeah. And so we provide the structure, the safety, the different activities, but our hope is that people will connect with each other and share stories with each other. We know that people heal when they're around other people that seem to understand a bit about their experience. And so no matter what we're doing in the programs that we provide, you will always see people start to get comfortable and start to open up and talk with each other. And we just teach different skills on how to reinforce what you're hearing, say it back to a person, and be able to share the commonalities of mental health across the entire group of people that are in that program.
And sometimes the most healing thing of all is just finally being able to talk about it and to say the words that you're holding in and admitting what's going on, admitting what you're feeling and sharing that.
Yeah. It takes the power out of fear. I mean, fear is a huge barrier for people to come to a program for mental health. There's fears of what is it going to cost me financially? What will happen to my reputation? Will I be welcomed and accepted, or will people pull away from me? Will I be abandoned? So there's all those fears. And when you engage in hearing other people's stories, it really helps people feel like this is safe for me. And I can finally, this burden I've been carrying for 20, 30 years, I can finally get this out of my own body and share it with other people. And there's a lot of great sharing that goes on in our groups.
And you said as the director, you're participating in a lot of the programs that you guys have there. It has to be rewarding for you to be listening in on one of these programs and somebody telling their story and finally seeing that light go on that had been dimmed or turned off.
Yeah. And we have people who are brave enough to let us as an organization then share their stories. We have a few of them on like our social media channels and on our website as well. But there's a lot of power when your story is no longer just yours and you're actually using it out in the community to help other people. And we actually have a couple of different curriculums that help us help other people structure their stories so that they're shareable for general audiences. And again, the power is in, you know, letting go of what has trapped you down for so long. And mental health can be very isolating because we don't think people understand, but it's actually quite common.
Yeah, I'm the only one going through this. Nobody's there. Nobody's seen this, but chances are somebody probably has somewhere.
Yeah, we're all humans and we have very common experiences. You learn that as you read or watch different shows that, oh yeah, I can relate to that because I've been through that too.
Yeah, this human experience that we're all going through is very special to each one of us, but connectable between all of us.
Yeah. And if we lead with curiosity and trusting other people and their ability to at least listen and connect with us, then I think we can really build some understanding around the mental health experience.
And talking about working with others and talking about others, one of the things I didn't ask is, do you guys have, you guys are obviously part of a national network, so you have access to the other NAMIs across the country. Do you have any other groups and organizations that you work with to try to help find these similar stories or how to work with this situation or things like that?
Yeah, the larger network, the NAMI directors in Ohio get together once a month. Then we have a couple of regional meetings as well. We're also very connected with Ohio Pro, which is peer-run organizations. That is the connection of Mocha House type programs that are available in our state. So they collaborate once a month and with regional meetings as well. And really, it's just a big community that continues to grow the more I engage with it.
And that is what we're seeing a lot these days is that mental health awareness and that community to help these folks grow and more people take advantage of them.
Yes. And so that is the mission. The hope for anyone connected with NAMI is that you would feel that you're less alone. You'll get information and support to help you with your situation. And that the next time you are in a social setting and mental health comes up, you're going to feel hopefully a little bit more supported in that conversation because we want to change the community at large and make it more of a common conversation around the table for people.
And do you have any last thoughts or comments to share about your position or the organization or that we maybe missed?
I think we covered it all. I just encourage people to continue to stay connected with us. And you can do that by visiting our website or calling our office. We're based out of Worcester, but that van is going through both counties every day to bring people to recovery in our programs. So we want to be a support for people and we want more people to know about us.
And what was your phone number again in case folks want to reach out?
330-264-1590.
Well, thank you so much for joining in with us today.
Thank you, Melissa. It's been a pleasure.
That was NAMI Executive Director Jen Grimm for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't miss an episode of Focus Fridays each and every Friday here on WKLM. You can also catch any missed episodes on the website, WKLMFM.com, and clicking on the Focus Fridays icon in the next edition of Focus Fridays. We focus in on the chairman of the Kilbuck CIC, Erica Ash, all here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.